pass away. I've separated the things that are sort of the positives of love that it is characterized as from the things that love is not, so that we can kind of separate those in our mind, and it's easier for us to go through them that way, because Paul kind of mixes them all in together, and that can be a little bit confusing sometimes. But the first thing we see, Paul says here, is that love is patient. It causes us to be patient. And that means we're patient with those that we agree with and those that we disagree with. That we're patient with young people and with older people. That we're patient when it's hard and when it's easy. There's no qualifier on this. Much like when he says that love is kind, it causes us to be kind to everybody. He doesn't specify who we're supposed to be kind to when we love. Be kind to most people, except for that guy who cut you off in traffic the other day. You don't have to be kind to him. Be kind to most people, except for that cashier who was really rude to you for no reason whatsoever. We haven't been instructed to return evil for evil. If somebody doesn't treat you the right way, you're still supposed to love them. You're still supposed to be patient and kind with them. Love rejoices with the truth. Love is from God, and it is from the Word of God, and it rejoices in His Word. A lot of times, I feel like we don't rejoice in the Word of God, in the truth. And the world would like us to believe that there's multiple truths. There's a different truth for everybody. And you see the world how you want to see the world. You have your own reality. And you have your own version of right and wrong. But there is one truth, and it comes from this book. And there is one real love, and it comes from this book. And I feel like many of us, a lot of the time, treat God's Word like it's a chore or it's an obligation. And we don't take joy in it. We don't make it a priority. You know, we don't particularly enjoy studying the Word of God, and so we don't do it very often. And when we do it, it's kind of grudgingly, and we always think that, I'd rather be doing something else. This isn't my favorite thing to do. But that's not an attitude of love, folks. Love rejoices in the truth. If your mind is right and you have the right attitude and you really love God and you love the people around you, then reading God's Word will be one of the most enjoyable things that you ever do. Because that is where you get your knowledge from. That's how you understand the best way to live. And if we don't take joy in that, then we're never going to be really satisfied. We're never going to really love anyone. Love bears all things. It has stamina. It's strong. Love is not easily broken. A lot of the things that have been happening in the world, you know, some of the tragedies that we've been seeing, people who don't love, people who don't have real love in their lives, they're broken by that. They're devastated by it. And it's hard for them to get back up. But if you have love, if that's your outlook, if that's what's in your heart, and that's what you've decided to do, is to love people and to love God, then you will not be broken by those things. You will find a way to get back up and to move on and to keep going, to help people. Love believes all things, and that's not to say that it's gullible, but that it is trusting. You can't really love somebody if you don't trust them. And when you love someone, you give them your trust. And that might throw a wrench into things for you because, you know, we're supposed to love people even that we don't know. We're supposed to love everybody. Well, how do we trust people that we don't know? You can trust them by giving them the benefit of the doubt. By believing and hoping that they will make the right choice whenever they can. Now, some people don't always live up to that expectation or to that trust. But do you trust the people around you? Do you trust your family? Do you trust your friends, the brethren, your spouse, your kids, your God? Where is your trust? Because if it's in this world and things of this world, then you're not really going to be able to love until you change who you trust. Because love is constant. And by loving things that are temporary and by putting your trust in things that are temporary, you fail to understand what love is. And therefore cannot have it until you change where your priorities are and where your trust is, where your faith comes from. Love hopes all things. It's optimistic. It's positive. And the world today has become very cynical. It's a lot easier for us to look at someone and to see what's wrong with them, to see the flaws, than it is to find positive things about them. And we've been kind of nurtured to be that way. That's really unfortunate. But if we have love, we'll dig deeper. We'll look for something that's good to hold on to. Now, love doesn't fantasize, and it's not silly on reason, but it hopes for the best outcome in every situation. And I think one of the best ways that you can sum up love for someone else is that when you love someone, you want what's best for them, no matter what it means for you. If it means being really involved in their lives or not being very involved at all. Because sometimes it's easier to love people when you don't spend as much time around them, because we don't all get along. But do you hope the best for everybody? Is there anybody in your life that you feel angry at, or that you find yourself wishing ill upon them from time to time? Because that's not love. And if that's how you feel, you have to reevaluate. Love endures all things. It keeps pushing when everything else would give up. And whether things are good or bad, real love is still there, because love comes from God. And God doesn't give up. God cannot be broken or deterred. Nothing affects Him like it affects us. At the end of the day, God is still God, no matter what happens here on earth, no matter what we do to Him or feel toward Him. It doesn't change Him. And through God, we can have that same kind of endurance. We can have that same kind of love and hope. What you see on the screen is not really what we see a lot of in the world today. When people say we need more love in the world, they don't mean this. Now, I wish that they did, but the word love has been largely, widely misused. It doesn't mean what it was intended to mean anymore. What we see a lot of in the world today is fairy tale love. It's something that you can fall into and fall out of. Something that just kind of happens to you. And when it's not there anymore, oh well, move on. But that's not real love. This is real love. It causes you to do things for other people, even when it's not easy, especially when it's not easy. And the truth is, if you don't try to love somebody, you're not going to. Not really. You might think that you love somebody, but when the going gets tough, do you stick with them through that? or do you give up because that's easier? I think a lot of us have opted to take the easy way out on many things. And love is absolutely not the easy way out. Paul says some things that love is not, what it is not characterized by, what it does not cause us to do. And the first thing he says there is that love does not envy. It doesn't cause you to want what you cannot have or to be discontented. Therefore, love does not lead to extramarital affairs. If somebody has cheated on their spouse with another person because they claim to love someone other than their spouse, they don't really love them. They might think they do, but that's not real love, because love does not cause you to do things like that. You can give up on love. It's possible, just like you can give up on God. But love does not just give up. If you choose to love somebody, you're going to choose to love them through the most difficult of times. Love doesn't boast. It's not proud or conceited. It's not in your face. It doesn't need validation or attention or affirmation from other people. If you love somebody, you don't need for them to love you back. Now, that's nice, and that's one of the best feelings in the world, is to love somebody who loves you. But God has been loving everyone since the beginning of time, and the majority of them have never loved him back. Love is not dependent upon reciprocation. And it doesn't say, "I told you so," when you were right and the other person that you're trying to help, the person that you love, is wrong. It's understanding. And it's not arrogant, which is sort of similar here as it puts them together for that same reason. But it's not self-centered. It's not prideful. And a lot of what we see in the world today is me, me, me. I want this, so I get it. I want that. But I don't want this, so I'm not going to bother. Love is not a know-it-all. It doesn't cause you to make yourself look or feel superior to anybody else. And sometimes I wonder if we love each other and if we love God. Because I feel like a lot of people act like they know more than God. And that is simply not true. We as people know very little at all. Especially people my age. I know very little compared to what I will eventually know, and what I will eventually know is very little compared to God. And love does not cause me to feel superior to anybody. If anything, it causes me to feel like other people are superior to me. Love is not rude. This is a tough one, I think, for a lot of us, because it can be hard to be considerate sometimes. It can be hard to think about how someone else is going to feel or react to a certain thing or a certain way that we approach them. But love does not behave without compassion, and it causes us to think about others, what they need and what they want. And passages like Ephesians 4:15 tell us that we need to speak the truth in love. So if someone that you love has done something that's wrong, you should go to them out of love to try to help them, to correct them, to help make them better. But if you go to them looking for an opportunity to point out a flaw, that's not love. If criticizing somebody makes you feel better about yourself, you don't love that person, and you need to change. And if somebody comes to you because you've done something wrong, you don't behave rudely when they criticize you because they're trying to help you. Love is not rude when it's trying to help someone or when it's being helped. So no matter what end of that we're on, we need to be loving and understanding. We're just trying to help each other get to heaven, get through this life, and on to the next. And the best way to do that is to love each other. We can't do that and be rude. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not stubborn, but it's open-minded. It listens to all the options before it makes a decision. It doesn't simply refuse to listen to anybody that is different or that doesn't agree. I feel like a lot of us have become very narrow-minded and that we're closed off to anything that isn't our way of thinking. And I'm not saying just us in this room, not just the church, but people. And we need to open up again. We need to be more understanding with each other and be more considerate of one another. Love is not irritable or resentful. It takes a lot to get somebody worked up if they've got love in their heart. And I know because I managed to get my father riled up a few times while I was living with him, but it took a lot. And if with somebody less loving, it would have happened a lot more often because he had a very high threshold. He was very patient with me. But when I pushed him too far, I knew that it was my fault. When he became irritable or frustrated with me, I knew that it wasn't his problem, it was my problem. And it was his love for me that minimized that. And he was able to forgive me for that. He didn't hold a grudge against me, and we shouldn't hold grudges against each other. I feel like a lot of people today are getting worked up about things that don't matter, and they're unwilling to forgive people for things they can't even remember. And that is not love. Love doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. It doesn't get happy when somebody messes up. Sometimes I think that we secretly rejoice when somebody who's seemingly perfect or, you know, is a goody-two-shoes messes up. You know, it makes us feel better about ourselves because, hey, you know, they mess up too. Well, yeah, they mess up. They're a human. Duh. But we shouldn't rejoice in that. What we should do, if we love them, is try to help them get through that, overcome that, and support them. And if somebody's living in sin, that doesn't mean we should support that sin. Love does not condone sin, but it does not act hatefully toward those who are sinners. The best way to persuade people to come to Jesus, the best way to show them Jesus, is by loving them. Love is the greatest motivator of all. And we're not going to convince very many people to come to God if we act hatefully towards them. The last thing that Paul says here is that love never ends. Love never fails. It doesn't quit when things get hard. When everything else, when every other motivator, every other driving force that you could have, fear, anger, hate, when those things quit, love will not. We can't give up on people when things get tough. We can't give up on God when things get tough. Real love doesn't end. And you can choose to stop loving somebody, but that's not the right choice. Loving someone and not loving somebody, those things don't happen by accident. Those are both choices that we're aware of. But I feel like a lot of the time we're choosing to not love people rather than choosing to love them. Sometimes people won't let you love them. And that's just the way it is. And we have to learn to accept that. But love tries. It tries to love people even when that's not what they want from us. Even if they don't want our help, real love offers. And God didn't quit on us when we rejected Him, which we have a lot, over and over again. And there are many people who've chosen not to love God, but that doesn't mean He doesn't love them. He still wants what's best for them. He still wants what's best for you. And so even if you haven't been living the right way, if you haven't been loving the way that you need to, that doesn't mean it's too late for you to change. That doesn't mean that God has given up on you. In 1 John 3:16, John writes, and I like this version particularly, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. That is the greatest example of love that has ever been shown, because that was when love was the hardest thing to do. When they were killing Him, He died for them so that we could live. If you feel like you're lost in a world without love, God is the answer. He is love. He's the one you should turn to. And if you aren't a part of Him, you need to know that He loves you and that He wants you to obey Him. He wants you to be with Him. And that you can make that decision to put Him on in baptism this morning. And if you are a Christian, you are a part of Him, but you haven't been acting like a child of God, you haven't been loving the way that you need to, then it's time to change. If we want to change the way the world is, if we want to change anything, it has to come from us, and it has to come from love. We are the ones who should understand better than anybody what love is. And we are the ones who have to start living love to show the world. If there's anything that we can do to help you obtain that love or to start living in a better way that is more pleasing to God, then we would encourage you to let us help you as we stand and as we sing.